Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Meadors, brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
This is the Sunbird Sports Show, and I am your host, Paul Meadors, live here at the ESPN studios on Palm Avenue across from Bullard High School. And we are going to get right into it because we have a special guest right now. The PacWest Assistant Commissioner, Joe Reinsch, is here with us. And the reason why we're bringing Joe in right now is because the PacWest Track and Field Championships are this weekend at Fresno Pacific University. This is a huge event, and Joe is a major reason why this is going to be a fantastic event at Fresno Pacific University. He is in charge of it. So, Joe, how are you doing right now? Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show. Really appreciate it. Hey, Joe, can you hear me right now? Having some trouble getting Joe on. Very busy time right now for the PacWest. I hear he is at the golf tournament right now in Las Vegas before making his way to Fresno. Joe, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now, finally. Nothing like live radio doing a phone call. I appreciate you taking the time. I know this is a very, very busy time for you and the PacWest. So let's just get into it right now. So huge event this weekend at Fresno Pacific University with the PacWest Track and Field Championships. Just kind of give us an overview of what to expect this weekend, how many participants, just the grand experience for these student athletes in the PacWest. Can you just kind of give us an overview of all of it?
Definitely. So we have 10 different schools. There should be about 400 athletes competing over 2 days across 42 different events at Fresno Pacific. And so we're looking forward to that competition. There will be national NCAA qualifiers coming from that meet, and we will crown a conference champion at the end of it.
And is it true you are finishing up the golf, PacWest Golf Championships right now? Are you in Las Vegas? Is that true?
I am in North Las Vegas as we speak, and our women's golf team just got off the 18th green, and we will be finalizing their results and giving the championship trophy away here in just a couple of minutes.
And then you're hopping on a plane and making your way to Fresno, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
All right, that's awesome. So I want to ask about the facilities at Fresno Pacific. We're going to have Coach Ray Winter on after you. But just what's so attractive about that, and what do you love about the facilities there?
Well, I love the facilities. They continue to invest in it. I know they've recently resurfaced the track. I know they just opened the brand new baseball stadium, which we are really looking forward to having our baseball championship there in a few weeks as well. But more than the facilities are the people there, the people from that you talked about, Coach Winter, Coach Hirschhorn with the baseball program, their athletic director, Kyle Ferguson, all the way down, just outstanding people to lead that athletic department, and just a ton of great young people coming there to learn how to compete and learn, just compete at their very best and represent themselves, their families, and their institution. It's just a great place to be. They do it well, just as well as anybody in the conference, and there's no better place to host.
What I know, this is a huge undertaking for you, and it involves a lot of people, and I want to get into some of the people that you're able to work with, but what are some of the easiest aspects of running the track and field championships, and what are some of the hurdles you're like, oh my gosh, this is I don't know if we're going to get through this, but it always seems to be pulled together. What are some of the easiest and most difficult parts of this?
Well, the easiest is probably leaning into a coaching staff that really knows what they're doing. They know how to put on a great event. That just makes my job easy. I am not a person with a track and field background, and because the sport of track and field is a mix of disciplines, there are 21 different events per gender. Every single one of those events has their own rules, techniques, cultures even. And so trying to come in without that background is probably one of the biggest challenges. It's something that I've tried to embrace and tried to learn as much as I can. But really having, like I said, having that host staff that knows how to put on a meet, they know what a championship experience is supposed to look like, being able to lean into them to help provide that and just have an amazing experience for our student athletes is really what we're all about.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking with Joe Reinch, the PacWest Assistant Commissioner. He is in charge of the track and field championships being held at Fresno Pacific University. Okay, so you mentioned you're not a track guy through and through, but do you have a special event that you've been to that might be one? You think of the 100-yard dash, or one of my favorites is the long jump, but is there something that you might be looking forward to watching?
Wow, that is an excellent question. There's a lot about all of them that I like. I would have to say that the steeplechase is probably the one that's just the most interesting. It's a mix of sprinting, endurance, the hurdling, and then, of course, the water pit. As a former media person, provides some pretty great action photos. So that was kind of a place that you knew that event was. You would sit down. Usually it's being run as the sun's going down. You get some pretty incredible images of those athletes splashing through the water, jumping over the hurdles with the sun coming down behind them. It's a pretty special event.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. The relays are cool, too. I forgot about the steeplechase, right? I'm used to covering high school stuff. This is my first year hosting the Summer Sports Show. So, yeah, steeplechase, that's a really good answer. So you also oversaw the basketball championships at Dominican back in March. Obviously you pour a lot of yourself. I'm sure you have, some almost sleepless nights, and your phone is ringing off the hook, and you're answering texts the best you can, kind of like today probably. But what, after all that hard work that you put in, what are some of those rewarding aspects of putting on a meet like this?
Honestly, it's usually the very simple things. I'll use an example from today. Just the championship team, every single one just walked up, thanked me, shook my hand, and just thanked me for putting on an event. There's so many people involved. I do a very small amount of it, but just the opportunity to see that the student athletes and the coaches had a good experience. They felt like it was a championship environment, and they had their best chance to compete at their very best. That's the satisfying thing. That's why I do what I do and enjoy it.
Absolutely. And then in a couple weeks, May 7th through the 9th, you mentioned the PacWest Championships at Fresno Pacific. And I got to tell you firsthand, I've been to newly renovated Dan Martin Stadium, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. Were you involved in that process of getting Fresno Pacific the championships held there? Was it just kind of a no-brainer for you and your the office there?
Definitely. We were there 2 years ago, and just when they were breaking ground, getting that process going, and even then it was just a little bit of regret that, man, I really wish we could have been here with the new stadium. And as things turned out, we had some membership changes in our conference, and when the championship hosting for this year came up, again, Kyle Ferguson and his staff stepped up to the plate, so to speak, pardon the pun, and they just said, we will do it. We will knock it out of the park for you. And so everything I've seen from them so far this spring, from the video streaming that I haven't been able to visit in person. I'll be there tomorrow to see it firsthand, which I'm excited about. Watch the video streams. It looks like a professional ballpark. And just everything I'm hearing from their staff, it's just an amazing place to visit.
Well, I can attest to it, right? You're going to absolutely be blown away by the facilities at Fresno Pacific. All right. So I know you worked at Azusa Pacific. I'm a graduate of Fresno Pacific. I'm a proud grad. My brother graduated from Azusa. Tried to walk on the baseball team, and I think he went to like two practices. Man, this is really good baseball. And that was the end of his career at Azusa. But you're familiar with NAIA as well. That's what Fresno Pacific played in back in the day. But as you guys have transitioned to Division II, I know you worked in both organizations. And one of the great things about interviewing the student athletes from Fresno Pacific, they just have a great, great experience at the Division II level. What can you say about what you've experienced? And I know you just talked about a really good one coming off of the golf course, just how they thanked you. What can you say about the student athletes and how much they love their experience playing at the Division II level?
I think that's right. There's definitely a competitiveness that everybody wants to win, but there's also, I think, an acknowledgement of the reality that at the end of the year, there's one team that's holding up the trophy at the end of the year, and that doesn't mean that the rest of the season was a failure, that there wasn't success. There's every single day, every practice has a success for somebody where they've learned how to overcome setbacks. and just learn lessons that are going to help them throughout their entire life. They learn that on the practice field, they learn that on the game field, they learn it in the classroom, and they learn it in the social life at these campuses. Every single one of our campuses reminds me also why I do what I do. I'm not on the campus level anymore. I don't my opportunities to visit campuses are fewer than they used to be when I worked there every day, but each one of those visits reminds me of just how amazing these students are and the type of coaching that they're getting that's going to help them just be successful in their own life, whatever they do.
And I got a couple fun facts here, Joe. I'm not sure if you're aware of a lot of the nicknames and mascots that are out there at the Division II level. So I Googled it, right? There's 304 Division II schools. I think there's going to be a few more next year. A lot of schools are transitioning up. There is a couple schools that I found very, very interesting as far as their mascots and nicknames. I'm just curious if you're aware of this. So Arkansas Tech has two different nicknames for their men's and women's teams. The men's teams are called the Wonder Boys, and the women's teams are called the Golden Suns. And there's Arkansas Monticello. The men's team is called the Boll Weevils, and the women's team is called the Cotton Blossoms. Were you aware of that?
I should have been. I spent 2 years at UT Tyler competing in the same conference, or the same region, I guess. So that had slipped my mind. I remember the Boll Weevils. I forgot about the Wonder Boys. I've already forgotten the other one. But, no, there's definitely some interesting ones. I try to impress our interns with the random knowledge of small school nicknames.
Well, I want to see.
But you got me on those.
Yeah, so I want to see the uniforms, though, right? Most likely schools are, you know, they're going to put their the name of their school across their jerseys. But, man, I want to see some Wonder Boys jerseys. I think that'd be pretty cool. We've got another minute with you, Joe. Again, I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us here on the Sunbird Sports Show. Again, let's go back to Azusa Pacific because I have a special connection with one of the Central Valley's own, Stephen Vogt, who's the manager of the Cleveland Guardians. He's a Central Valley Christian grad. He is an awesome guy, and I'm sure you've had some interactions with him. How awesome is it that, you know, a guy from NAIA, from one of those Bible colleges in California, is now a big-time manager in the major leagues?
It's incredible, and honestly, I had the blessing to work with him. My first year working at Azusa Pacific, I got to work with the baseball program, and that was his senior season there. So I've been connected with him, and actually his wife played basketball there as well. And so I got the chance to work with them, get to know them a little bit, and just see how, you know, he obviously has the work ethic to succeed at that level. But I think the thing that really stood out to me is just his quality of character. I mean, he's the same quality person that he today that he was then. And so much so, even my wife and I have planned a couple of vacations around last summer. We traveled around. We went to Cleveland, Milwaukee, and saw a few games that he was managing. So just a great representative. I mean, you can't find a better example of somebody to represent every single one of those categories that you talked about, high school, college, his family, just this. He's there. Very quality human that I honestly, regardless of his success at the Major League Baseball level, I'm just blessed to know him as a person.
I agree wholeheartedly. So, Joe, thank you very much for joining us again. I know you're super busy, but hopefully you'll be able to relax a little bit when track and field season is over. But good job putting us all together, and everybody can't wait to meet you and see all the great things that are happening at Fresno Pacific University. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. All right, we're going to take a break here, and we had to get Joe on really, really quick because, again, he is really, really busy. So I got some Fresno Pacific University track and field stuff to talk about. We got baseball to talk about. The tennis teams were in play as well. I'm going to recap the week that was and, give you a couple more fun facts about Fresno Pacific University. That's coming up next on the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sunbird Sports Show. This is 790 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at the ESPN studio on Palm across from Bullard High School. And that was a really good interview. I know there was some dead air at the beginning as we tried to figure out the connection. But yeah, Joe Reinch, who is an assistant commissioner at the PacWest conference. And I love how he deferred to everybody. He's like, I play a small part. It's about all the people that make this thing happen, the people you connect with, the great people at Fresno Pacific University. And we have Ray Winter here, and we're going to bring him on in just a few minutes because we got the recap, right? I got to do the week that was in Fresno Pacific University athletics. It was a jam-packed week for the athletic program with track and field. They're busy competing in both the Brian Clay Invite in Azusa and the Long Beach Invitational. The women's team, ranked 9th in the country, was led by Brianna Green, who broke her own school time in the 100-meter hurdles, placing 6th in the country. Ciara Copeland had her best season mark in the 200 meters that put her 14th in the country. And the 4x100 team of Green, Chance, Copeland, and Randolph moved up to 4th in the country with their best time of the year. On the men's side, they sit at 7th in the national rankings. Former guest Shamar Palmer won the 200-meter race at the Brian Clay Invitational. And Jonathan Biffle moved the 11th in the nation in the 400-meter hurdles. Bo Olsen broke his own school record in the 800 meters. Seems like that guy is breaking a record every time I recap what's going on, and has the nation's 17th best mark. In women's water polo, they only won one game this past week and came out victorious 15-11 against UC Merced. Former guest and season standout Tatum Benson led the team with 6 goals, and Clovis High's Dakota Lambert had 3 goals herself. Earlier today, Tatum was named to her 3rd consecutive All-WWPA first team. Additionally, Allie Heppner made the second team, and former guest Maggie Cook made both the second team and All-Defensive team, and Clovis High's Dakota Lambert made the All-Freshman team. Today, they're traveling to Morgantown, West Virginia for the WWPA championships that begin on Friday. In men's tennis, they were in action in conference tournament hosted in Surprise, Arizona, playing for a spot in the postseason NCAA regionals. The men suffered a heartbreaking 4-3 loss against Hawaii Pacific. Former guest Bren Cronow and his partner Sven Bengert clinched the doubles point with a 7-5 win. Bengert added a second point with a commanding singles win, and former guest Ravi Nelson also won. However, tied 3-3, the match came down to a final 3-set match that went the Sharks' way. The men bounced back in consolation, beating Hawaii Hilo 4-2, clinched by Clovis High's Brody Soderstrom's singles win. Women's tennis wrapped up their season as well with a final consolation match played, falling to Metropolitan State Denver 4-0. In baseball news, they traveled to play the Biola Eagles and split a high-scoring series 2-2. The first doubleheader was won by the Eagles, but the men showed promise offensively. Aaron Martinez Jr. had 3 hits, including a home run and an RBI in Game 1. And first baseman Roman Rosales had 2 hits, 2 runs, and 3 RBI. In Game 2, Hanford High's Chris Clement led the team with a double and also had an RBI in that one. The script flipped in the second doubleheader with the Birds winning Game 3 10-8 and Game 4 15-8. In Game 3, after trailing 7-2, reliever Jake Turley from Clovis West only allowed 1 run in 7 innings and struck out 3. Madera High's Shane Purcell had 2 hits, 2 RBI, and scored 2 runs. Game 4 was the slugfest as Trent Maloney went 5-for-5 with a double and 4 runs scored, and Cole Brinsfield drove in 4 and scored 3 times. Clovis West, Dylan Senaway earned the win with 2 2/3 innings of sharp relief. At the end of the show, I'm going to be bringing you more on what's to come in Sunbirds athletics. But like I mentioned, we got Ray Winter here, we could call you frequent guest of the show this year, right? Is this
yeah, man,
is this
I'm
number
back.
3?
I think so.
Because you did
2 or 3. Country. Yeah, that's right.
We
that's
did track
right.
and field.
Yes, we did.
And now you're back talking about the big weekend.
This is a big one. Yeah.
So thanks for coming in here to the ESPN studios. I really appreciate you. I've known you for a long time. We've had some good conversations, and we got another one. We got a big one this week. So Ray, let me ask you, man, is this like anxiety ridden time for you? Like, how do you feel? Are you getting sleep? Are you able to rest? Are you just like, you know, answering texts and making sure everyone's in the right place? How are you doing right now?
I'm amped up, man. I am. Like, so, and it's more about more adrenaline than it is anxiety or anything like that, because I'm just so excited and proud of where the team is. I mean, men and women, both of those programs are just hitting on all cylinders. We're at our best in the, really in the history of the program, without a doubt. So that's just exciting to be in a new at a new tier, at a new level, and everything's looking good, and we're falling into place right on time to be even better when it matters most. So, yeah, I woke up this morning about 4:30, and I knew if I don't fall asleep in 10 seconds, it's over. So I was up early today. The wheels started turning.
And, yeah, and, you know, as I kind of mentioned in doing the recaps, it seems like every time I read the recaps about Fresno Pacific track and field, somebody's placing high in the nation, breaking a school record. This is good. You know, this is a new meet record. All these great things are going on in track and field. Like, how cool is that for not only a program, but for the student athletes?
It's special. And we really value those who have come before us. We talk a lot about that. It's part of our culture. And we are such a alumni supported base, man. I mean, these, for example, this weekend, we're going to have people flying in from, I think, 7 states, right? Like, just to come to their alma mater's conference meet, right? And that's, so that means a lot to us. So we talk a lot about those who've come before us and set the bar pretty high. And so now that we're breaking those school records and, you know, winning big time meets, elite meets, you know, Brian Clay and Stanford and stuff like that, when we do stuff like that, we really celebrate it. So, we used to talk about, you know, at just a different level, you know, how can we do in conference? Let's try to make the finals in a conference meet, you know, for different athletes. And now we're kind of, we are talking about week, every week, where are we at in the nation? Where are we at in the nation? So that's really exciting.
So let me, I'm just curious, and we're going to get to some of the times and some of the athletes that that are competing this weekend. But like after a meet, you guys are entering times. Just tell me how that works into a database. And then, I don't know, does it pop up, you know, this relay team is now good, you know, now just placed 7th in the nation. Is that how that works?
Yeah. So everybody's required to submit those times into the same database. And so you wake up on Sunday morning, you know, and you see what they did on the East Coast. You see what they did in Michigan. You're like, oh, you know, I thought we were first in the nation. We're third. You know, what are they doing in Florida down there? So yeah, it's pretty cool to know what's going on. And that's really how you get to nationals, those descending order performance lists. And at the end of the day, you know, if you're in that top 20 to maybe 22, 23 spots, you're getting in. So it's, we got it. We can't be done yet. We can't sit on our laurels. We know that everybody's kind of building into their very best, and we are too. So it's great.
All right. So let's get into some specifics, and I see you got some stats and times and highlights and all that good stuff. So who are some of the athletes that we're expecting to really put on a show this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you did have Shamar in here earlier, Shamar Palmer. He's a junior. He's a 400-200 guy. He's the best 4-2 combo runner in the nation. He's doing special stuff. I mean, he's a remarkable leader on the team. So if anybody follows track just a little bit, they know that running 45 seconds in a 400 is world-class. And so he's a world-class athlete and just a great, humble guy. And he doesn't do it just because he was born with talent. He's a workhorse, man. He's really a tough guy. He's on both relays, so he's going to put on a show. He doesn't have anything easy. We've got some tremendous competition. The Pac West is arguably the best track and field conference in the nation, top to bottom. So it'll be kind of a pre-Nats situation, and he'll have his hands full. But we're looking for him to score some big points for us for sure. So on the sprints, he's our big dog. And then for the women, we've got. A whole team of big dogs really in the sprints. That's our crew. We are the most dominant sprints program in D2 in the nation for the last 8 years. We're the only team that's made the 4x1 and 4x4 finals for 8 years straight, which talks about depth. It talks about talent, top end talent. So we've got Brianna Green, who keeps breaking her own school records, keeps leading the nation. I mean, she's in the top 10 in 5 different events. It's like, what are you, right? So She doesn't do it on accident. She is absolutely focused, you know, so she's kind of that Sydney McLaughlin kind of mindset, just a big time champion mindset. And then Saria Copeland is another senior. She was a national runner up last year, missing a national title by 0.03 in the 200. She's for real, and she's coming right back into her mode right now. So she's on both relays. We're excited about her. And the depth just follows. For example, I think we've got 9 women entered in the 200, and there's only 9 lanes in the final. We wanted to get 7 or 8 of them, you know, so that's kind of where we're at. And we've got even some young ladies coming up, a lot of locals. You know, Paul, we're Valley pride, you know, very much. I'd say 85% of our team is between Stockton and Bakersfield, right? So we love the San Joaquin Valley. And so we've got kids from, you know, Central High School locally, and so many of these powerhouse schools that they have a reason to stay in the Valley now. That's a, you know, it's big time track and field, and we're proud of that. So it's exciting. Couple more.
Yeah, give me all these names. This is fantastic. I want them all, man.
We've got some defending conference champions in the distance events. You know, Bo Olson in the 800. It's his time to just step on top of that podium for sure. Again, school record holder. Again, sub 150 is fast, and so we've got a couple guys that can do that, and a couple freshmen that are going to be right on their heels. So we're hoping to maybe get lucky and sweep the podium on that. So that's fun, led by Bo and Emmanuel Salas. He's a junior from Sanger High, and last year he missed two school records by point something seconds, right? So he was kind of keeping the big dogs honest last year, and he's right back where he was last year. So we're excited about him. And then on the ladies' side, we actually have this wonderful crew of 5K, 10K ladies. Julissa Martinez, she just broke our 5K school record that goes back to 2017. And did it with the craziest kick I've ever seen. So she's got more, you know, she's got more. And then Julissa Avila, she's our captain leader, and she's going to be doing the 10K 25 lapper on Friday night, maybe coming back for 12 and a half laps Saturday in the five. So some superstars there for sure. And then I have to mention some of these superstar freshmen, man. It's crazy. These young, talented people that are ranked in the top 20 in the nation, that are, you know, they're 18 years old. Jonathan Biffle, you mentioned him, and in both hurdles, he's ranked, ninth in one, and I think 14th in the other. And then his roommate happens to be these guys. They ended up roommates, and so maybe that's why they're so good. It's just osmosis. But Malachi Carrasco, another local boy. Yeah, Selma Proud. He's a tremendous guy. 6'11", so he's chasing that 7-foot mark, right? He's hungry. He wants it. He wants it on his home pit with all the family and friends around. So we're going to be chasing that, looking for a PacWest title. And then I'll just mention again, I'd say Avril Mendoza, one of our freshman girls, Dinuba, and she's ranked in the tops in the nation. Again, top, I think she's 13th or 14th now in the 400 hurdles, which is one of the toughest, most painful races. But she's just like a little miniature Bree Green, man. She's a dog. She will fight. That gun goes off, and she's in it to win it. Amazingly sweet and funny off the track, but the gun goes off and just get out of her way, man. So a lot of highlights, but there's some for sure.
All right. So I read about Bo Olson all the time. Just talk about his journey to Fresno Pacific, because I think he has a unique one, doesn't he?
Well, I'd say in a way he does, and at the same time he represents those locals, right? He's actually a Buchanan kid. And so this is the deal. When you go to Buchanan and you run on that track, and that's just where you go and run the mile in PE, and that's just where you just kind of hang out and train every day, there's only two or three stadiums in the state of California at any university that can match or exceed that track in quality. It's just that good, right? That's why the California State Meet is there. So the meet records are insane. You know, we've hosted, I say we, just the town of Fresno and Buchanan hosted U20s nationals, right? Under 20 national championships there and other huge meets. So for a Buchanan kid to cross town and we don't have the smashing big, you know, home stands and all the really cool amenities that Clovis Unified has in veterans. That's kind of cool for somebody to say, yeah, I see that. I like this. And by the way, our track is the same track they've got, right? So when it's time to put the spikes into the ground, that we move and we've got a hot, fast, brand new track. But that's pretty special that hometown boy who is one of the best in the state wants to stay close to home and dream big and build with what we're doing, and that's what he's done. There's been some others just like him. It's pretty cool. It makes me proud.
Well, how about on the women's side, right? Just kind of point out some special journeys that some of these young women have progressed to, and you know, who are just primed and ready to have a good meet.
Well, I'm looking out the window and I can see Bullard High School, and I might choke up, man. I'm a crier. That's what my team already knows. You know, I get halfway through anything and they're like, oh, he's doing it again, you know, because I love these guys so much. They make me so proud of how much they grind. But I'm really thinking of Shania Randolph. She's a sophomore. Last year she came to Nationals with us as an alternate. And we, as a sprinter, you know, you can be so fast, but you're still number 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. You know, we have, I think we have 8 women under 12 seconds in the 100 this year and a couple more chasing. So that was Shania Randolph last year as a freshman figuring it out. and just killing it in the classroom and just getting in line and following all the queens, you know, following all the monsters and doing everything perfectly. Lo and behold, now she's on the A team in the 4x1 and the 4x4, and we're better this year and deeper in terms of 400, 200, 100. So that's just that humble grinder who just does it right. Yes, coach, what else can I do, coach? So she comes to mind right away, just again, looking out this window, hometown girl, and super proud of her. And then some other kids, I mean, from Fresno, where Fresno Pacific is located in Southeast Fresno, the closest two schools to us are Sunnyside and Roosevelt, right? And so, and those two schools don't necessarily, aren't known like some of the Clovis schools as these schools that are winning state meets and stuff like that. So we've got Allie Chavez on the ladies' side, and she's a Roosevelt Rough Rider, and she had potential, and I saw something in her. I think we're going to shine that into a diamond for sure. And I gave, you know, I thought maybe in a couple years. Well, as a freshman, she's already far exceeded my expectations, and she's number 5 all time in the 5K. I mean, she ran her high school 3200 PR split on the 5K the other night by a lot. You know, she's just kind of going bounds above what anyone could reasonably expect in terms of performance. So I think that's another special story. And then I'll give one more, because there's, and everybody's got a story that's just like,
and your roster, incredible, Ray, is right? Huge. And I love going to all the team rosters, yeah, at Fresno Pacific University and reading the bios and seeing where all the kids are from. That's a joy that I have. And your team has so many, and you know, I see the smiling faces and so many stories. There's a story, yeah, behind every single kid on that website.
Man, there's 43 women, 43 men. And I like I said, I might start crying. I just love them, because when I'm recruiting them, I'm like, this is a perfect fit. They have our DNA in them. And yet they're unique and add to the diversity. And so they're grafted in and we become better. And so here's a really, you know, this will be the like cherry on top story of this one. I got a Sanger High kid. Well, I've done that before. Well, she was an international student here for a semester from Germany and running track. And I'm like, oh, she's talented. Let me talk to her. Name's Clara Wagner. Well, oh, what? You have an accent. Where? Oh, Stuttgart. Well, she loved what we were all about. She came to campus, did her visit, saw the program, met the team. And she's like, you know what? I think I want to go to college here. I want to stay here. So we have a German student on the team. She's a Sanger Apache, right? She's grafted in now too. So yeah, it's pretty cool to have some of that cool international flavor, right? Where we've got Bosnia or Jamaica or Germany, and you add that to our Valley kids, and it's just so us. I love it.
It makes it pretty special, doesn't it? So Ray, just kind of encompass what, you know, this meet, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. I know the rankings are very important and the times are important and, you know, the improvement, all that stuff is important. But what are the next steps? So the huge meet this weekend at Fresno Pacific, and then depending on times, what are the next steps?
Yeah, this is, and we're really, it's interesting because when we're, you know, top 10 team in the nation, we do need to keep one eye on the horizon and make sure we're making moves this week that will take care of us in 1 month. So Nationals is a month away, and but we don't want to look past this weekend. To my point, when you get the meet entries, you can score the meet on paper. And so we got the meet entries. They were released yesterday. We scored the meet based on scores, based on marks, which of course, you know, that's why we play the game, because anything's possible. Yeah. And the men are in a virtual tie with the Azusa Pacific, and we're well ahead of third and fourth place. Again, anything could happen, but it looks like it's a two-horse race with us and Azusa, and it's the scores are 183 to 182. So it might come down to the 4x4, the last event. And by the way, the PRs, the best scores of the year for the top three teams, ourselves, Azusa, and Academy of Art in the 4x4. We all ran 310. So it could come down to a dive, Paul. I mean, it's that close. We've had the conversation with our team. Everybody knows, how can I score a point? And I let some of our athletes know that don't have the privilege of qualifying for the meet. You can score points too. How can you take care of your teammates? How can you cheer them on? How can you encourage them? How can you make a difference? So everybody's on board. So we're not looking past this week. And again, ladies are looking squarely in second, but some teams are chasing. And they're kind of chasing Azusa for that title. We're going to hold them honest for sure. But then we're on to a last chance meet, kind of in between. So a couple weeks after, we'll have a couple athletes over at Fresno State next weekend to try to get a qualifier. And then last chance meet, we're going to go down to L.A. and we're going to send it. And 2 weeks before Nationals is your last chance to qualify. And we'll have a bunch of athletes there that are in and they want to stay sharp. They'll do that, or some athletes on the bubble, and they're going to lay their life down. You know, they're going to go for it. So in 2 weeks, we'll know pretty much who's going to Nationals, who made it, and then off to Pueblo, Colorado.
Wow. Okay. Just had a great conversation with Joe as well, who's the assistant commissioner for the PacWest. Just talk about the scope of this and the amount of people involved in this track and field event at Fresno Pacific University. How many people are involved? Are there volunteers? Are there, you know, I just landscape that for us.
Oh man, I need a landscaper. Track and field is such a monster. I always, you know, joke around. I would love to just like roll out the wrestling mats and get the scorecard and the whistle and turn on the lights, you know, or lower the rims and get the shot clock on and crank the AC up. Track and field there's 21 events. So it's a 3-ring circus. It's a 5-ring circus with field events, track events. And you got like, what is pole vault? What is even happening? What's happening?
And why are they happening at the same time?
At the same time.
Other events. Yeah.
So to man that, you know, to get personnel, to happen, all of those things at the same time is very intense and requires a ton of human resources. So really, really grateful for our administration, Brian Hittman, AD of events and facilities. He's been grinding on this one. Kyle Ferguson, our AD, has just leaned in everywhere. What else do we need? And we want to be good hosts. We always really pride ourselves in hosting tremendous games and meets and experiences for the other athletes too, for our athletes. And so our track is beautiful. Again, just resurfaced less than a year ago. We've got some other cool things that are new out there going on. Of course, we're still enjoying the shine of that new Dan Martin Stadium just right there next to us. It's beautiful. So grateful for all of the admin. And then we've got an alumni base. We just send the bird signal into the sky and they show up. So we've got alumni that'll be out there, you know, raking pits and pulling tape through and just helping out. So that's really extraordinary. And every student worker, I think that is employed by FPU Athletics will probably get some hours on the time card this week.
That's awesome. All right. So for you personally, is this kind of, you know, you mentioned you don't want to look ahead and you mentioned Nationals and all that great stuff that has potential. But for you, looking at the track season, do you look at it like chapters? I know we're going to get to some book talk in a second. I this is your third time on the show. We haven't talked about your PhD in literature yet. We're going to get to that. I'm excited. But how do you frame a track and field season? You look chapter to chapter. You look month by month. How do you personally look at you and your coaching staff?
Yeah. That's such a great question because track is a physiological journey, right? So it's not like by game one, we need our defensive schemes locked. It's really a physiological journey that if you're at the top of your game in January, it's bad because you can't sustain that, right? So it is really a sport rooted in trusting the process. And it's so cliche, but it's so, so true in our sport that if you jump phases of your training, you're going to peak too soon or you're going to kind of get it wrong. So just like we periodize or have phases of training, you know, these kind of macro cycles of physiological training. It's also how we look at the season and we tell the team, hey, these first meets are icebreakers, they're rust busters. Don't get caught up on the marks. Don't get caught up on the times. Trust, believe me, we're doing the right things and it's gonna come around, but the process is that we're gonna have to go through this mentally and physically to be ready for when it matters most. And so it's all a dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. You know, I think head coach Robert Foster, you know, he's the guru of all sprints and of everything, really. Of course, he's a, you know, Olympic hurdler, but that's his thing. I think that's one of his go-to things is everything's a dress rehearsal until the championships. And it is. It's a mental and a physical dress rehearsal. And well, we got the uniforms on this time and here we are. So rings on the line, right? So we do think about it kind of in three phases. There's that early season stuff, rust buster. Mid-season, we're coming into form, and then we start to have some expectations on performance, some actual outcomes expectations, kind of like late March, early April, knowing that, hey, it should really be best at the end. So, and now we're there.
So do you give any type of final speeches? Do you huddle the entire team together in one location and give them one last thing and say, all right, you guys are primed for this. You're ready. Go do your thing. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, we had our team meeting. The big one, you know, was yesterday. We have it every Tuesday, and it's tough, Paul. Like, what do you say to warriors before going into battle, right? And so, absolutely, we come back to our core values, you know. And not gonna cry, but that's everything for us. Our identity is really rooted in that we're bigger than the sport, right? That we're whole people. And we talk about growth in mind, body, and spirit. And so if we haven't done that work, if you don't feel ready, then something was missed along the way by coaches. You know, we didn't quite emphasize the right thing. So we had that talk yesterday. I held it together. But especially when the scores on paper are what they are,
yeah.
I don't have to say much, yeah. Man. They're ready to go. They're proud. And they're ready to steward their gifts and honor the gifts that are in them.
Here. I can't wait for this. It's going to be a fantastic event. Fresno Pacific University, the PacWest Conference Track and Field Championships. All right, last question here, Ray, and then I have a recap. All right, so I mentioned it. Not only got your, you know, undergrad from Fresno Pacific, you got yourself a master's, you got yourself a PhD in literature. You're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're shrugging your shoulders. That's coach, a big deal.
Of course, track coach has a PhD in literature.
Yeah, okay, right? Yeah. You don't see that too often. All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I've read a few books. I actually wrote a book. I think you might know. It's definitely not literature. It's in a category by itself. You know, it was a prank letter book, a humor book. But in your opinion, what is the greatest work of literature? Maybe something you enjoy or what you consider the greatest of all time.
Oh.
The GOAT of literature.
Man, impossible question.
You got question. Like 1 minute. I really put you for a PhD. I'm
impossible question. I do have a short list, kind of the Mount Rushmore. I would have to say, as an American, I'm a little biased too. So I'll say Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. Mm. If you are a citizen of United States of America, read that book. And published in 1954, he got the Pulitzer for it. African American saying things and thoughts and ideas in ways that are really forwarding civil rights in a way that was so powerful, artistically beautiful, right? But also. Just ahead of its time, kind of pre-civil rights movement, and really was, I think, a catalyst in so many ways. But that's one of my absolute favorites, and it's just, I just read it again last year. I don't read books second time that much, but, I mean, that was just, it's been too long, so I was just like, wow, blown away again. So, Invisible Man, it's not sci-fi.
That's
don't get caught up on that. It's not sci-fi.
It's not sci-fi, yeah.
Oh, man, it's all about how do we become, you know, this great democratic state. It's taken a lot of sacrifice, and it's a tough journey for a lot, but it's a great look at who we are.
And I'm sure you could probably put To Kill a Mockingbird, talking about a great American novel as well. Same types of themes, I'm sure. All right, Ray, really appreciate you, man. I got a recap to do.
Thanks, Paul.
Man, good luck this weekend, and I can't wait to hear all about it. All right, so our recap. So lots of good things happened at Fresno Pacific. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the PacWest Conference Track and Field Championships all day Friday and Saturday. Visit thepacwest.com for more info on tickets, the live scoring, access to the live stream of the event. The women's water polo, they're going to begin play in the WWPA Championships Friday against Gannon University at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can watch for free at thewwpa.com. Baseball on the way to Menlo on Thursday, but will host the Oaks for their final two games of the regular season Monday at 12 at Dan Martin Stadium. Game one can be heard right here on 790 ESPN. Then on Tuesday, Scott Bemis and me will be hosting the 9th annual Flight Night Awards on the FPU campus, celebrating the year that was for FPU athletics. So next week, we'll have plenty to recap from that big night for the Sunbirds student athletes. All right, that's a wrap for today. Thank you guys for listening. Again, if you miss any part of the show, they are all on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts as well. You could go by and listen to all the past episodes. I actually told my students today in fifth grade that all my podcasts are on the show. They're like, Mr. Metters, post it so we can listen. So we're able to do that. So that was a really fun event. But you guys can definitely go back and listen to all those past episodes. Thanks to Joe Reinch, who joined us. He is the assistant commissioner, of the PacWest Conference. And, of course, Ray Winter. Thanks to Jorge behind the glass for producing the show. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Great event this weekend. Can't wait to hear all about it. You've been listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. Have a great week, everybody, and go Birds.